For a quarter century, this church has functioned as a fully constituted congregation. In that history, for the first 10 years and a few months of that period, this congregation belonged to the only Free Presbyterian presbytery that existed at that time, and that was the Presbytery of Ulster, or the General Presbytery as it was called. But since the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America on May 17, 2005, this congregation has belonged to the denomination, that denomination, the FPCNA, that has fraternal relationship with the Presbytery of Ulster. And since late in 2013, the FPCNA has also enjoyed a fraternal relationship with the Presbytery of Nepal. So during this quarter century, then the Free Presbyterian family worldwide has enlarged, and now there are three different presbyteries. So we enjoy membership tonight, 25 years after our Constitution, in a worldwide family of Free Presbyterian churches. We have missionaries in various fields around the world, fields that did not exist when this church was constituted. 25 years ago tonight, 22 people accepted charter membership in this church. Dr. Paisley was present on that occasion, and he greeted each one of the charter members by shaking the hand. Now, out of that group, some have left for various reasons. Others have died and have gone to be with Christ. But I was thinking about it yesterday, of the 22 charter members, 11, half, are still part of this congregation 25 years after its official formation. And there are others who have joined the church since that time as well. The testimony we raise tonight is that the Lord has helped us. He has sustained us through trying times and through times of grief. But He has helped us. When Samuel, in our text, set up the stone that he called Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, it was to serve as a reminder to the people of God that God helped them mightily, especially in the faces of their enemies, the Philistines. They remembered in setting up that stone the mighty acts of the Lord. And tonight we are like Samuel. We remember that when we were sometimes in discouragement and perplexity, not knowing how the Lord was directing us, the Lord sustained us. And that is our theme this evening on this singular occasion. We dwell upon divine sustenance. Divine sustenance. In the words of our text in 1 Samuel 7:12, the Lord gave the people a great deliverance. They faced a powerful enemy, and He gave them a great deliverance from that enemy. And Samuel desired that they should not forget what the Lord did. And there is always in that desire a recognition that we tend to forget. And that is why On occasions like this one tonight, it is good for us to reflect on what God has done. Samuel set up a stone pillar. He called the name of it Ebenezer, the stone of help. And the function of that stone pillar was similar to the memorial stones that Joshua, years and years before, commanded the people to take out of the Jordan River. That is, it was a visible reminder of the Lord's intervention. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Lord's help is not just an abstraction. It's not a concept that is hard to understand. It always reflects historic happenings, historical reality. This church has its own history. And many of the people here tonight can reflect upon that history. And that history is a record of the Lord's gracious dealings with us. The argument of Samuel to the people on this occasion in 1 Samuel 7 was that the evidence of the Lord's help in the past is the predictor of the Lord's help in the future. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And the argument is, the God who has helped us hitherto is not going now to leave us without his help. The Lord is in a covenant relationship with his people, and that relationship can never fail, can never be ruptured. The Lord has said again and again that he will never leave his people nor forsake his people. And that covenant relationship speaks to us ultimately of the redemption that Christ accomplished on Calvary. And this church is about the redemption that Christ accomplished on Calvary. The church is Christ's church. It is his prized possession. And in his church, he takes great joy. So there are two aspects of this divine sustenance that we must contemplate in the moments remaining to us this evening. First, divine intervention in the past. Divine intervention in the past. And as we come to an occasion like this one, it's well for us to reflect on the fact that this church exists as an indication that God has moved. God called this church into existence in answer to the prayers of his people. That's a fact beyond dispute. Some of the people who are still part of the church have testified that even before this church began holding services, even before my family and I came to this area, there were people here who were praying for God to raise up a witness for the preaching of the gospel of Christ in the context of Reformed theology. In that ministry, it has always been our goal, I can say it's been my goal certainly, to lift up the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we embarked on 25 years ago tonight. And by God's grace, we've continued to lift up his person and his work. So we have never set out then to embrace what people through the years have told us is a more effective philosophy of church growth and church building. And that is to try to be relevant. We have the model of the apostles to follow. We have the promise of Christ that he will build his church that encourages us to keep on going. This vision of Christ that brought this church into existence has focused our attention on Christ Himself. We say we are Reformed in our doctrine. That is, we are Calvinists. We are not ashamed of the grand theological heritage of Calvinism. We say that we are Protestants. That is fundamental to our identity. And we have never sought to obscure our ties to the work of the Protestant Reformation. In fact, every year we have taken the time to give special attention to some aspect of the Protestant Reformation. But above all, we are Christians. We are the followers of Christ. So we are seeking to make known the Christ of Scripture. Because without the Christ of the Bible, there isn't any Christianity. So without the Christ of the Bible, there is no cause for us to exist. What is our testimony tonight? That the Lord has helped us. And that again and again, we have seen the Lord's glory in the person of His Son. Our church has come through 25 years since its constitution. And it's easy for us to forget what has gone before and to focus only on the challenges that are before us now. But this church is looking for the Lord to do great things because the Lord has already done great things. What has the sustenance of God done? What is the result of the help of God of which we read in our text? Well, that sustenance has planted in us, I trust, by this time, a solid devotion to the Holy Scriptures as the inspired Word of God. We don't hesitate to say, and we've said it many times, that we believe that whatever the Bible says is so. Not up to us then to make a determination as to whether the Bible is true. We are saying the Bible is true. It is infallible. Whatever it says is so. Our testimony is God has said it and that's the end of it. It really doesn't matter whether people believe what God has said. God has said it. That's the end of it. So we subscribe in our church, as we have for all these years, to the inspired, and I like to always emphasize this particular word, the infallible Word of God, the infallible Book of God. Why do I emphasize that word? Because here is the source of authority. If you want to know what has happened in the past, and we were reading Genesis chapter 2. It's a great illustration for us this evening. If you want to know how it was that the human race began, that's where you find the answer. That's where you find the information. Not reinterpreted through the lens of people who want to harmonize the Bible with the opposition of science, as the apostle says, falsely so called. We are subscribing to the infallible Book of God. And we commit ourselves, as we have over all these years, to the proclamation of that infallible Book of God in a world that wishes to hear anything but that truth. And through the years, we have watched as people have come into the congregation to visit the service here and to hear the declaration of the infallible book, they have gone away. They didn't want to hear it. The world doesn't want to hear the truth. But that reality has not stopped us from proclaiming the truth. We have faced times of great trial, times of adversity, We have faced attacks from the devil that sometimes did discourage us, that could have caused the work of God to cease. We have had the experience like Nehemiah of old time. Nehemiah was engaged in the building of the wall. And those who were opposed to what he was doing tried to discourage him. They wanted to have a conference with him. Let's have a seminar, Nehemiah. Let's talk about our mutual problems. And Nehemiah said to them, I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a work for God. I can't come down and talk to you. It is our testimony, after all these years, that we are engaged in the work of Christ for the advancement of His kingdom. That's why this church is here. It's not here for any other reason. So let there be encouragement tonight. That is what Samuel intended for the people of God. Look at what God has done. And if you ever forget it, look at this stone pillar, Ebenezer. Remember what God has done. And let that be our testimony this evening on this special occasion. There are sometimes sore trials. But the encouragement of Samuel to the people was, the best days of the people are not the days that have gone. They are the days that are to come. You may face trials in your own circumstances, uncertainty about the direction of God in your life. And you may wonder how it is God could possibly intervene. But let us hear the words of Samuel as he reared up this stone pillar. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. All the way up until this night, the Lord has helped us. And all we can do tonight is to look around us at this place in which we meet to worship God. The purchase and the development of this building, where we have worshiped the Lord for nearly 10 years now, is an indication that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. There were times when we wondered if we would ever see the reality of this situation. So when we look to the past, look over the 25 years since that Constitution service, this very date, 25 years ago, we see the intervention of God in the work of Christ. But when we look at the past, we see something else. And that's the other part of the text, divine faithfulness in the future. Hitherto, up till now, Samuel said, the Lord has helped us. So what Samuel was saying to the people was, that's not the end of the story. The help we've known in the past is not the end of the story. There was to be the fulfillment of what God purposed and promised in the sending forth of the Redeemer. That was yet to come. Samuel was saying to the people, the Lord has helped us. Here was a situation before there was even a king in Israel. And Samuel was saying, the Lord is going to be faithful to what He has promised. If we read on in 1 Samuel, a few chapters later, the first king of the people made a mess of the kingdom. He was more concerned about his own persona, about his own reputation, than he was about what God commanded him to do. So when Saul made a mess of the kingdom, it would have been easy for people to say, well, that's it. You know, we had our chance and we failed miserably. But God said on that occasion, he had found a man after his own heart. And it was Samuel's solemn responsibility to set that man apart. Let us look at 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. And verse 14. The word of Samuel to Saul, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And I remind you that at this time, the one whom the Lord sought, the one whom the Lord designated, did not even know anything about it. But if we turn just a few pages, one page actually, to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1, we read that the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Samuel went to Bethlehem, to Jesse. And remember the story that Samuel looked upon seven of Jesse's sons and he thought, well, these are quite impressive. Thought as each one passed, surely the Lord's choice is before him. But the Lord said, "I have not chosen any of these." And then they called for the youngest to come in. In verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Here was the one that God chose. In the act of anointing David, Samuel was asserting the fact that God is faithful to his covenant, to all his promises, that God will bring to pass all that he has purposed, especially as it would concern the coming of the Redeemer, the coming of Messiah into the world. And when we think about that in the context of our text this evening, we can say that that's our testimony as well. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the prospect of God's faithfulness to his people is no less certain than it was on the occasion of which we have read. God has been faithful to us in the days that have gone into history. And we can reflect upon that faithfulness. We have seen young people profess faith in Christ and follow the Lord in baptism. We have witnessed the constitution of our denomination. And even though we have had a number of trials, God has been faithful to sustain it. We have basked here and elsewhere in the fellowship and ministry of God's servants. These things, we are confident, are a prologue to what will follow. That God will not be overthrown, that God's purposes will come to pass, that he will build his church so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that as surely as we consider the quarter century that has passed since that night of our church's constitution, as surely as we consider that, we have to consider that God will continue to prove himself faithful to his people in the days that lie ahead. So it is well for us to meditate upon these truths this evening, to reflect on what God has done, and we rejoice in what God has done. Now we look forward to what God will continue to do, because God will always care for his work. May the Lord then encourage you this evening, that as we have come to this milestone in our church's history, that the Lord will direct our steps in the days ahead. We simply continue on serving him. We persevere in the faith. We persevere in that which God has called us to do. And we know that Christ, our great King and our only head, will abide with us, will manifest his presence to us in the days to come.